Does anybody watch those shows where they'll bring in the old pinball machines or the old Pepsi machines and fix it up? We had a chance a couple weeks ago. I was at work in Nashville, and we went to that American Pickers shop they have. And they had a restored Pepsi machine there that was just like one I had seen when I was a kid. They can wipe away the years and neglect and the use and the weathering and make it look just like new. Don't you wish we could do that for people? Now, I have seen some honeys and some roosters that have had the Botox and the nip and tuck and trimmed up with the liposuction and all that. As y'all can tell, have not done any of that. And they look good on the outside, but what about the inside? What about our souls? And how do those get restored? Our past. How do we walk away from that? Or how do we deal with that? And it's hard. We are, in a lot of ways, a culmination of what we have and what we've been through. And it's not only individuals. Churches need restoration sometimes. Families do. Individuals, we get tired. We can backslide. We can start off being all for what we're supposed to do, being for God. And we can drift away. It can happen. Solomon, Saul. This happened to a lot of very strong people with very strong faith. Every day, it takes recommitting to be complete and committed followers. Good news is, though, God's in the restoration business. In today's story, it comes from a king that brought restoration to Israel, but may not have heard of him before. Israel had turned away from God. This was said about 800 years before the birth of Jesus. The glory that Solomon had brought in David, that was long gone. The kingdoms had split from each other. Israel had split into two. Each king seemed to get worse than worse. Then along comes a fellow called Hezekiah. Hezekiah was different than his father. He also has we can also learn three lessons from him today about restoration. First, your past doesn't determine your future. Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah about 700-800 years ago. Hezekiah's daddy was probably the worst person to have ever been king of Israel, ever. His name was Ahaz. You ever see that one cousin that you don't want to see at the family dinners and they come right up to you and you're just, that was Ahaz. Give you an example. Ahaz shut down Solomon's temple, put up all these worshiping spots of false prophets all over Israel. False gods. Baal was one of them. He participated in human sacrifice. He sacrificed his own children. How this young man, Hezekiah, made to adulthood, not really sure. He ruled for 16 years, and he did a number. He basically outlawed all worship of God. Set up idols, street corners, every town, every village. Ahaz was so bad that when he died, even the worst of kings of Israel were all buried in family tombs. He was the one exception. Now, there were kings that, like Solomon's son, Rehoboam, who was a bonehead, and he basically ended up causing Israel to split because he was so bad. He even got to get buried with David and them. This guy wasn't. That's how bad he was. Scripture summed it up by saying he gave himself over to every kind of wickedness. And when he died, his son Hezekiah became king at 25. Hezekiah had every single reason to act horribly. Look at his upbringing. He had never been around God. His father had turned away from God. His father had actually killed some of his brothers and sisters. He had every single reason. Just look at where I come from. He didn't go with that. He didn't use that. Second Chronicles, 29, it talks about he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. How can a daddy like Ahaz produce a son like Hezekiah? Hezekiah in Hebrew means the Lord strengthens. From a young age, he sought to do different. He had a sense of right and wrong that his father did not have. He chose to follow God, and God strengthened him. Hezekiah's family heritage was about as bad as it got, but his background didn't determine his future. In Revelation 22:17, says the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come," and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes would take the water of life without cost. The one who wishes. Hezekiah made an intentional effort to come to the Lord. Ahaz wasn't willing. Hezekiah was. You see it all the time. Kids raised in the same family. One goes left, one goes right. What's the difference? It's a choice. You can have people that are raised by the same parents, people that come from similar backgrounds, and one that chooses a different path, intentionally chooses it. You've heard me say it before, we're saved by grace and changed by choice. You look at the environment Ben Carson came from, Baltimore, worst parts of Baltimore, had every single reason to go left. He went right. Part of it was apparent. His mother was an amazing woman. That's not always the case. Sometimes you have children that come from horrific situations, but they rise above by making that choice, like Hezekiah did, would not let his past define who he was. Nobody comes from a perfect family. People can come from pretty good ones, but none of them's perfect. But your past doesn't have to determine your future. It's your choice. Your choice determines your future. And when it comes to following Jesus, will you or won't you? Hezekiah made that choice to follow God. We're given the free will to choose. If it's your choice to follow God, then your past won't hold you back. In 2 Chronicles 29:3, the very first month he opened the doors of the temple that hadn't been opened in 16 years. Shows how bad it was when Hezekiah came into office. Can you imagine churches, every church in this town, every church in this state being closed 16 years? It happens. Saw a picture of a Christian in China yesterday strapped to a chair. Her face was beat in. And there was a government official behind her. They're meeting in secret now. There's an all-out purging of Christians in China as we speak. You're not going to see it on CNN. But it's there. They made the choice to follow God. It's not an easy choice sometimes. When Hezekiah finally got into the temple and see what kind of shape it was in, it wasn't a pretty picture. It was 16 years worth of junk. It brings us to the second point. You can cast out that baggage. You ain't got to live with it. Cast out that past. He brought all the priests and the Levites, which were like priestly assistants, said to them, "Get yourselves pure, and we got to get this temple in shape. Our forefathers have done evil, and we got to make it right." This temple was piled with junk. So much, it took priest working around the clock 16 days. The Temple of Solomon was massive. It had multiple floors to it, stables. The Crusaders during the Middle Ages actually used part of the stables. That was part of it that was still left. It is huge. 16 days. How many people feel like we have 16 days worth of baggage in our own lives? I've been there before. I feel like I've rented a U-Haul truck, a couple of them, and hauling my baggage all around with me. It is very easy to accumulate this stuff up. Sometimes it's real baggage. Sometimes it's just stuff from our own perception. But we have it, and we have to deal with it. Every so often, we got to clean our temple. Churches, individuals. Sometimes we get in the habit of, as a church, we've just always done it this way, we've done it this way, we've done it this way. Sometimes individuals. We've done it this way, we've done it this way, and I can't do this because of this. And then you realize that your baggage is running you live. That you won't do this because of something that happened 15, 20 years ago. I've been there. I think if a lot of us are honest with ourselves, a lot of us have been there. That sting, it pulls us back, and we don't want to do that anymore. We need restoration. Prayer, study of God's work, preaching, teaching, fellowship, evangelism. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so easily entangles. And it does. You get wrapped up in sin, it's like paint. You spill paint and then it starts getting everywhere, sin. And if your life's gotten clogged up with having too much stuff, too much paint in it, too many commitments, you're doing stuff and you don't even know why you're doing it. When Brayden was little, and I don't know how many of y'all been in this as parents, we were hauling that kid around. We should have had a meter on the van. Scouts, karate, what else? It was several other things. And because, yeah, Jennifer had to fill in when we were out of town. So, and then we realized Brayden was exhausted. We were exhausted. And we didn't really, piano, guitar, and there were a couple other things. Then we realized, okay, he don't really like all this stuff. We're killing ourselves, and we're spending money, and it was all this pointless activity. Now, if you think about it in your own life, how many things are you doing? And if you really stopped and thought about it, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? There may be times that we go not in a straight line, but here, 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 and here for something that happened years ago. Why are we doing it? It's clogged up. So much baggage. So much stuff in our lives. But we can't get rid of it overnight. It took these priests 16 days around the clock, nonstop, to get things moved out. When we look at our lives and we look at our past and we make a decision that we're following God, then we look inside our temple and we see all this stuff. All these things that may have been reasons why we weren't following God. It's time to clean some of them out. And as far as Hezekiah, they went through. They got everything cleaned out. And they were going to have a big shindig. They were going to celebrate Passover. One problem, though. Passover was occurring. They missed the date. A Passover. Passover where Moses and the Israelites, they got prepared to go out into to leave Egypt. It was prepared a specific way. It was done for hundreds of years. And then the last 16 years, it wasn't done. They realized, okay, we got all this fixed up, but we can't celebrate it. Another lesson, though, from Hezekiah, God's always got a plan B. There's all kinds of circumstances that cause people to think, well, I've messed up too much. I can't start over. I have messed up too much in my life. There's no restoration for me. I'm too rusty. I'm too dented. I'm too jaded. I have screwed over my family. I have cheated. I have lied. I have done this, 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 and this. There's always plan B, but you gotta be willing to change. Not just change from the lips, but a change of the heart. A change for yourself, a change for your family, a change to separate yourself from this past. Not deny it, but separate yourself from it. Learning from Hezekiah's story, he could have easily followed the path of his day, but he didn't. He made the conscious choice, my upbringing is not going to affect my future. God was with him, and he was probably looking at his own children. I don't want them to grow up like I did. And I have my past, but I can get rid of some of that past. I can get rid of some of this baggage. And it ain't perfect, but there's a plan B. He's got a second chances. He's got a plan B. Now, you've heard me say it before, grace ain't never an excuse to go out and sin again. But if you're making a choice inside your heart, a real choice, not to do the things you've done for the right reasons, you can change. It will not be easy. It's not going to be. You're going to be attacked from every side. People that have been around you are not going to, they will not understand why you are acting the way you're acting. Because they're used to you not caring, doing things the easy way, doing whatever is good for you and not caring about anybody else. That's what they're used to. They may be part of the baggage. And that's something. If you make your choice that you want to do the right thing and you want to follow God and it is from your heart, you are probably going to have to deal with that. That this is, they are part of your past. And you have to make that choice. Do I want, you know, they're not changing. Am I going to have to separate myself? You can try and avoid pain and agony. Problem is, it's going to follow you around. It's dealing with it. You got to deal with it. Some people have the idea that once you've messed up, it's over for you. It is if you wanted to be. Now, if for some reason you've messed up before, you have a criminal record, there may be doors that are closed to you. Career doors. That is a consequence of what we do. It is. But it doesn't mean you stop living. It doesn't mean you stop being a good person. It doesn't mean that you have to make that decision. Well, I've got this, so now, most important title you ever carry in your life will be husband, wife, mama, day. Doctor don't matter. Engineer don't matter. Mama, daddy, husband, wife, that matters. That's your heart. And that's where you can change. You raise good children. You may not ever have a statue, but you will leave a legacy that is indescribable. You show these kids how to live. Because I tell you what, they may half listen to you, but they're watching you. They're watching every single thing you do. I found that out the hard way a time or two. And they are watching. And you ask yourself, do I want my kids to take the bumps and bruises I've taken? Do I want them to do that? Now I got to let go of my past. My background didn't define me. And it may not be the plan I was thinking, But God will help me have a plan B. And Hezekiah and them, they had their plan B. They celebrate Passover 1 month over. And the first time in almost 20 years, the Jewish people returned to God. Now, after Hezekiah, people would fall back. And I think there's a lesson in that. That it's a continual struggle. Be a follower of God. It is a continual struggle. But it is possible to separate yourself from your upbringing. It is possible to follow God. You may have made mistakes. We all have. But if you truly, truly know in your heart this is wrong and there's a better way, make that conscious choice. Start cleaning out your temple. And it is, and you can find a better way. You can find a plan B. Hezekiah took people back to the worship they enjoyed in Solomon's time, 200 years before that. In Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, Jesus gave a message to one of the churches in Asia. And he told them, I hold this against you. You abandoned your first love. See how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. How many of us here have been? We accepted God at one time and we've fallen away. I've been there before. Has our life gotten too cluttered up? Too much junk? And I'm not meaning like, the latest Martha Stewart stuff or stuff like that in your closets. But how many of us has our life just become so preoccupied with so many things that we really forget why we're here? Our kids, our spouses, are they back here? And all this other stuff up here? Is it supposed to be that way? And if our kids and our spouses are back here and all this junk's in front of it, where's God at? It's time to look at each other, because this is from Mother Teresa. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow ain't come. Let us begin today. Because we have today. We're never, ever guaranteed a tomorrow. And there's something you've been putting off. If you want to look at your life, you don't like the way it's going. We have today. Let us begin. It's never too late to remember and return to God. When our lives go off track, it's not something new we need. We don't need the latest, greatest thing. We don't need The Secret. We don't need the Oprah Network. We need more than ever. We need Jesus. We need to come back to what we know. It's not easy. It's not easy. You're attacked. It takes a lot of self-reflection and a lot of looking that I didn't do this right. I need help. There's a lot of humbling to it. But in that, we will find the path we need to be on. We can disconnect ourselves from that upbringing. It doesn't have to define us. If you have a good upbringing and it helps you develop as a person, that's wonderful. But if you've had a bad upbringing and you've had bad circumstances, you don't have to let that define you. You have a conscious choice where you can do better. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to pray, and then the altars will be open. The songs will be going. If you feel that urge to pray, the altars are open. Come up here, pray from your chair. The main thing, just pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, Father, there are people here, and there may be people listening to this. Now, Father, they're much like the temple in Hezekiah's time, full of baggage, full of junk. They may be like Hezekiah, who had just an awful upbringing. and they have risen above that, or maybe they're trying to, and they need help. Father, help them to open their hearts. Help them to humble themselves and come to you. You're knocking. Help them to change their life, to separate from that past. Father, help them to develop a plan B. Help them to find a path that they're supposed to be on. Father, it may be one step at a time. Father, they may have to say no to people they think are their friends. Maybe you're using them to help those other people. Father, we just ask that you just help them to open their hearts and let the Holy Spirit come in and do his work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, altars are open.